This week's mailbag comes to us from Rachel. Lisa and team, I want to thank you for all you do and what you have created. I've been an obsessed listener to your podcast for well over a year now. Several months ago, I purchased the Sunday Basket, then the 100-day program, and finally, a few weeks ago, I went all in. Today, as I was walking in from running around completing errands on my day off, it hit me like a brick. The systems are working. This morning, I only had 3 stops to make, which then turned into more with kids forgetting much-needed items at home. However, it wasn't an issue. I had more than enough time to get done what I needed and to do the unexpected trips. For so long, I blamed my retail schedule for the reason I couldn't get organized. My days are all over the place. My day-to-day or my week-to-week schedule never looks the same, so I only half-hearted committed to the Sunday Basket method. In truth, it was fear that I would fail, so I didn't fully try it. It has been 5 weeks of solid determination to do my Sunday Basket, and it has made all the difference. I've ditched my to-do list, and I'm still getting stuff done. More than I ever thought possible. I have a long way to go, but walking in today, that aha moment hit me. I'm being proactive, not reactive, and I love it. So I wanted to give you guys a shout out and say thank you. Creating habits is never easy, and getting organized is a bit scary, but you have developed systems that make it simple and as painless as possible, and I truly appreciate that. Thank you so much, Rachel, and congratulations. Do you have an organized 365 success story? We would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at lisa@organized365.com and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Well, Kelly, welcome to the Organized 365 podcast.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm so excited to be on with you.
So Kelly joined our team the beginning of 2019, and I will have to say, Kelly, you keep me running. I have never met anyone as good at setting and achieving their goals and so many at the same time. Like, I think this is what people feel like when they're trying to chase me, and I'm trying to chase you now.
Great. Your audience is going to be like, what kind of freak did you hire?
She's amazingly awesome. Oh my gosh. So awesome. So I am pretty, you know, I'm a teacher by trade, and then in direct sales, like I learned some management, but it's mostly I manage like a teacher does, like, okay, here's how we're going to do it. Do you understand how we're going to do it? Okay. Can you try it on your own? All right. Can you do it without me now? Okay, great. I'm going to go do this other thing. That's exactly how I run my company. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's exactly right.
Yeah. And so if you don't know how to do it, okay, let me show you again. Create you a video. And we just go over it. Like it's a math lesson and you didn't get it the first time. So I'll just teach you again. So hiring you was a huge, not mindset shift, but really, I mean, you are our director of operations, and I knew when I hired you, I was leaving the management role of Organized 365, so I'd be freed up to do more. And you've been with us for 5 months now, almost 6 months. No, only 5 months. It is amazing how fast you have onboarded. I told you when I hired you, I was like, okay, well, a year from now, you'll be in charge of everything, and pretty much you're already in charge of everything.
Well, you're a great teacher. So I think that's why I was able to onboard so quickly.
Oh, and you're a very hard worker. So we're a really good pair. And I would say for anybody who has ever hired anyone, when you hire somebody into your company, it does 2 things. Number one, it takes tasks off your list like it's supposed to do. But also it forces you to level up your skills because you have to be more productive, proactive, and profitable in how you spend your time in order to afford any employee that you have at all. But definitely then when you hire a manager who then is going to manage everyone, then you have to have enough projects and sales for them to manage. Like, They want to keep working, right? So hiring people is really leveling up yourself. And so I shared in the last podcast episode about my weight loss and wellness journey and what I've done in the last 2 years, and specifically in the last 9 months. The first 18 months was just thinking. And then I actually started doing real things. And it's interesting because when you came on board to Organize 365, you were in a very similar mental place where you wanted to also prioritize your wellness and weight loss as well. So I was prioritizing because I want to live to be over 100 and I have no issues right now, but I figure that that's not a reason not to take this seriously. And as I am freeing up some time in my life, I am starting to put that more in my appearance and my health and my wellness. What was your reason for starting to put some better habits in place for your health and wellness?
Well, I would love to say it was because I want to live forever and be a good caretaker of this health that I've been given. But if I'm going to be straight up honest, it's because I'm the typical woman that is just like, I don't like how I look in my clothes. I don't want to live like this the rest of my life. And I have a smaller frame, I would say. So 10 or 15 pounds on my frame is a huge difference. And I noticed as I'm getting older that my energy was just getting worse and worse in the late afternoon. And so I'm very blessed that I have some family members who are super into health and nutrition, and I just see them with this boundless energy. And so the wheels started turning that probably my nutrition was not where it needed to be. And if I could get more energy and lose some weight, that was really the trigger for me, is just wanting to clean those two things up. And as I told you, the best motivator for me was my pants were starting not to fit.
Yes.
I know some women are like, oh good, I'll go shopping. But I really did not want to spend money on something where I knew I had tons of cute clothes. I have a closet full of cute clothes. And I just really wanted to make that line in the sand. And that kind of coincided with a doctor's appointment where he said, women, they hit, you know, that certain life stage and they just start gaining 3 to 5 pounds a year. It's not like anyone gains 50 pounds a year normally, but women, it just starts to creep. You start to have that creep. And so I just wanted to draw that line in the sand and say, no more. I'm not going to let my weight keep creeping up. And I'm not even going to just stay even. I'm going to lose weight in 2019.
And you do have a fabulous wardrobe. I have now taken Kelly. I'm like, okay, today what we're doing is we're going shopping for Lisa. And we went to the mall for the day. Like, that's literally what Kelly did one day. If you follow us on Instagram, you know all about it and how I did great until we got to shoes. And apparently I need some work with shoes. And I exasperated Kelly. She won't even discuss it with me. That's okay.
This is true. You let me, you took all my recommendations with clothes, but then we got to shoes and all of a sudden picky Lisa came out, and Lisa is very picky about her shoes. I came to find that out.
Well, you know, we all have areas we can work on. What can I say? Is it okay if we share your age?
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. Yep.
I think that's important. So you're going to be 40 this year.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And I am 47, and I noticed just a ton of changes in the year that you turned 40. I mean, I think the fact that you've switched your career and that you're focusing on your weight loss and your health is very typical of 39 and 40. And I don't know yet because I haven't been there, but I bet 47, 48 is another time where you kind of look at all these things again. Because I've been coasting just fine for the last 5 to 6 years. And now I'm like, And as I start talking, people are like, yeah, I'm 46, I'm 47, I'm 48. Like, it's definitely, I think, another time where I think some more physical changes start happening, which for me is my hair. So weird. That is the thing that I am noticing. But I also know that the older you get, the harder it is to lose weight. Once you go into menopause, the harder it is to lose weight. I'm not there yet. But I know these things are true. So one of the things I noticed, we started working together at the beginning of January, and you were carrying a water bottle. And by February, I started asking you about these monthly habits you have, and this just totally intrigued me. So tell me about how you started monthly habits, what they were, and can you tell us what your monthly habits have been this year?
Absolutely. So I am somebody that typically I don't make New Year's resolutions. My New Year's resolutions are bucket list items. Like, this year I'm going to learn how to play the guitar. This year I'm going to learn how to crochet. I mean, I feel like instead of picking something where we're going to beat ourselves up in February through December because we didn't stick with our goals, I would rather pick something fun. And I'm just somebody who embraces life and arms wide open with everything I do. So I don't typically pick New Year's resolutions. So I wouldn't really say these were New Year's resolutions. It was just turning 40 this year and wanting to lose some weight. And I decided that instead of making this, you know, really, I feel like it's very difficult to say I want to lose 15 pounds. It's much easier to habit stack. So that's what I decided to do. And it just so happened I decided in January. It was not really a resolution, but I decided that in January I was going to do one new habit every single month and then just keep layering them on. And if I ever sort of started to backslide and I was losing a habit that I had already developed, I would stop that next month and go back and recircle back around and repeat a habit.
Wait, I'm going to stop you just for a second because you are extremely productive. I dare say more productive than me. And I have yet to meet someone more productive than me. You should know, do you have three or four? You have four kids, right?
Yes, four kids.
I just forget how many kids you have. It's more than two. I don't know. I can't keep track. Four children, works for me full time, more than full time, but I hire you full time. I can't stop you from working. Also going to school full time, like college full time, right?
Yes.
Yeah, like super, super productive. So as you listen to Kelly talk, this is how productive people think. We have it. If we want to do something new, we do not go join the gym, get the clothes, and start to work out first. We analyze our habits and we start to add really small, what seems like really small changes consistently over time. And you heard what Kelly said, like if she stopped doing one of the habits, she stopped and went back and reinforce that habit, because if you stop doing the habit, then you don't get the ultimate reward. Almost every change that you ever see is really stacked habits.
Yes, I think it's a rare person who makes a radical life change and sticks with it forever.
Yeah,
it obviously can happen, and there's always that small percentage for which it happens. But for me wanting to do this, it's for the rest of my life. So I didn't want to do anything where I'm trying to add a whole bunch of habits all at one time that I didn't think I could stick with. And I compare it a lot like to the Sunday basket. That's basically the backbone of what we do. If you can get that piece in place, then it's like you're stacking things on top of each other. So right. I love how you approach it with the Sunday basket, because it's really difficult to get your home clean if you don't have a place to put your actionable incoming papers. So with my health and nutrition, I wanted to first start, and that's what I did in January, was just tracking everything I ate. Good or bad, I didn't limit myself. If I wanted to go to Culver's for a concrete mixer and cheese curds, that's what I did. But I forced myself to write every single thing down that I put in my mouth. I had done Weight Watchers for years and years and years, and so that was a habit that I would really, it was hit or miss with me, but I really committed in 2019 because it would make me accountable for what I was putting in my mouth. And then in February, my goal was to start drinking 10 cups of water a day. And I had seen all these cute, you know, the cute water bottle tumbler things with the lines on them that go in descending order. So it'll say like 8 a.m., 10 a.m., 12 p.m. And your goal is to empty that water bottle. And because I'm goal oriented, that definitely worked for me. And I still use it. I have it right here in front of me. I use it every single day. So I am between 10 and 12 cups of water a day, which really, really helped with my energy. That was one of the biggest things with my energy. And then in March, I decided that I wanted to clean up my diet. I am a terrible eater, and I decided to just jump right in, do the faster way to fat loss, which is basically paleo. And I was somebody that carbs were my life, like cereal every single morning, a bagel in mid-morning, a sandwich for lunch. And I just was very, very carb heavy and hardly any fiber, hardly any protein. I just was really off track. So that was a huge change, and it made it so much easier because my husband did it with me. So that was probably the thing that allowed me to stick with it for the month of March. Do you want me to keep going? You want me to do my next
month? Okay. Yeah.
So for April then I decided, so I really did stick with it. You can have one little treat a week, like one cheat meal / dessert / whatever you want to call it on the program, which I did. It really helped too. My husband gets migraines, and he noticed a massive difference by cleaning up his diet. So for him, there was an actual physical punishment, if you will, if he didn't stick with it. So he wouldn't even do the cheats because he didn't like if he got a migraine. Mm-hmm. And so then because I had been so consistent with that, in April, I decided to start very teeny tiny working out. And I would just do the Pop Sugar Fitness on YouTube. It's either 5 minute arms or 6 minute arms. And I just wanted to do it twice a week in the month of April. And I'm not perfect. If you are counting with me, that would have been, I should have done it 8 times in April. And I think I did 5. So that was sort of, I give myself a B minus.
I know, we're always grading ourselves. I gave myself a grade in the last podcast too.
Right. Yes. And so I do that with myself quite a bit. But it was really great. It got me in the habit of just a couple times a week trying to build muscle, because women know if we lose fat, we're also losing muscle unless we're doing weight training. So my goal for April was just to start lifting some weights and getting stronger, which was good. And then for May, I read the book, The Miracle Morning. And for May, my goal is to stick with doing the Miracle Morning, which exercise is incorporated into that. And that one, I'm rocking and rolling with that one. That one has been fantastic. So I'm really enjoying it.
Okay. So if you guys are, if you're productivity minded, you're like, yep, that's how I form habits too. If you're not, then you're thinking, wow, that's a lot of things she added. But I will tell you, it's I wrote them down. It's very specific. So in January, she wrote everything down. Before you can change your habits, you have to know where you're starting from. She got her baseline and wrote everything down. And a lot of people are like, yeah, I eat too much. Let's just start the program. But if you don't know what your baseline is, then you don't know how much better you're doing. So that's very, very typical of productive people. Then number two, she didn't invest in a lot, but she did invest in a really cute water bottle, which was like, I mean, you could have just done it with a regular glass, but buying that water bottle, which was what, $24?
Yep. About 20 bucks, yeah.
Okay, $20. It's not a huge investment, but it's an investment. And once you make the investment, it tells your body that you're serious about what you're doing. Okay, I know where I'm going wrong. I'm just going to do this one habit, and I'm spending $20. The spending of money is really important in actually committing to the habit. You're much more likely to do it. Then number three, you went in on the program for the faster way, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But you didn't just go into the program, you did it with your spouse, which held you accountable. So you had a built-in accountability. So now you're putting more money into your journey, but you've pulled somebody else in along with you. And then you're sustaining that in April. And I would say Pop Sugar's free, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I bet if you paid, you would have done it 8 times.
I bet you I would have.
Absolutely. I think so. So people, you know, like, can we get a discount? Can you do it? There is something about paying for the transformation comes in the transaction. Mm-hmm. So often the transformation comes in the transaction, whether it's $20, $200, $2,000, whatever. You just take more seriously what you actually financially invest in as well as your time. We don't value our time as much as we could. And then I know with the Miracle Morning, you were doing it without the book, but then you decided to invest in the book in order to really cement that transformation as well, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I will also find sometimes if I listen to an audiobook that I get a lot of good information from, I will then go buy the actual physical book and just skim it so that I can highlight things that I want to remember going forward. So, you know, really investing in the actual learning that's taking place, not just checking things off the box. Like as you listen to Kelly's story, she's not just checking things off the box. Her learning and her transformation is stacking. These habits are stacking on top of each other. And if you go back and listen to my podcast last week, you can hear how mine kind of stacked on each other as well. Okay, so we are going to talk about the faster way to fat loss. Now, here's what I've learned about Kelly in the last couple months. She is an all or nothing girl. She is going to do it. And if she's going to do it, she's going to do all the pieces and she's going to check it all the way off. And it's going to be completely done. I like talking about the idea more and how can I change it? Do you know what you are in the Gretchen Rubin test?
I do not. No, I haven't done that.
Okay. One. I'm a questioner. I think it's part of the fact that I'm a questioner. And so I'm always like, okay, well, yes, but how can I tweak it? How can I make a difference?
Right.
I bet you're an upholder. I bet you're an upholder. But I don't know. You're a chameleon, so you'll have to take the test and let us know.
I am a chameleon.
When we did the faster way, I really bought into the faster way because Amanda said in November this was her favorite round because the people who can do it through the holidays, like they really have like grit. And I was like, I have grit. I'm in program. So I like being in, so I liked that. And I'd already gotten so much value from watching her for almost 2 years on Instagram that it was basically like I was paying her back for all the inspiration and motivation she had already given me. But as far as following the program, I mean, I cut my carbs way back. I understood what fat was. I added fat back in. I tracked my macros. I did not go paleo. I did not go gluten-free. Amanda does carb cycling. So you do low carbs, and then add. It was too much math for me. It was too confusing. I had too much going on in my business, and I don't cook, and I don't have food around here. I got all confused. And when you do 2 days of low carbs in a row, it puts you into carb depletion, which is what you need to lose fat, but it also makes you exhausted. Like it makes you like a slug. And so here we are in like November and I'm a slug. And literally on Tuesday, I couldn't even think. And so I was like, forget that. I have to be able to think. I understand if you push through, like it's going to work, but I didn't have any push through-itiveness. So I kind of did the faster way, but I lost 7 pounds kind of doing the fast way, not even doing it really well. And I didn't do very good with the fasting. I could push off my coffee in the morning, like 30 minutes. And I do put milk and sugar in my coffee. I put less in. So hopefully it was below 50 calories, but I doubt it. And then I would push lunch off more. And then I would stop eating at the end of the day. Like I can stop eating at like 6 o'clock in the in the evening. I don't have to eat real late, but my feeding window wasn't as small as she wanted my feeding window to be. So I would love for you to explain what it was like to really do the faster way, the way it was designed to be done.
Absolutely. There are a lot of components and I will say the program works. It is very similar to what I would say, like all access, how we take people piece by piece through, like start here, then do this, that I just needed that. Is this information available on Google? Yeah, it is. It totally is. But I also was at the point where I wanted somebody to just tell me what to do. And how the program works is it's called the faster way to fat loss because you are fasting, you're practicing intermittent fasting. And so she does what's called a 16-8 protocol, meaning you do not eat for 16 hours and you eat within an 8 hour window, which adds up to 24 hours in the day. If you are somebody who likes to eat late, then they recommend like noon to 8 is your feeding window. I don't eat after 6 o'clock at night. So it's a little bit easier for me to practice intermittent fasting because I just eat between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. I thought I would never be able to get over not having breakfast. It is, she talks about it in her literature. I have so much focus because I'm a little bit hungry when I get up and I sit down at my desk and start working. And there is something about what happens with your body when you have those spikes in blood sugar. And it really does, like you might have a lot of energy for maybe 15, 20 minutes and then you drop down. I don't have that. So I'm very, very focused. I do my best work between like 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. So I usually plow through quite a bit of my to-do list during that time. And so that's why it's called the faster way to fat loss. So you have the intermittent fasting, which is a big part of it. And then she combines fitness with what's going on in your body. So you do low carb days on Mondays and Tuesdays, which is 50 grams of net carbs on Mondays and Tuesdays, which is your carbs minus your grams of fiber. That's your net carbs. And on those days you're practicing, you're either doing like Tabata or a HIIT workout, like you're doing pretty intense workouts and that helps your body burn through fat really quickly. Then you recover by going to normal carb days, which are so wonderful and luxurious when you haven't had fruit or anything for a couple days. I will tell you, there is nothing that tastes as sweet as fruit after you have been carb free for a couple days. And then you do some low carb days, which is 25% less than the carbs that you're allotted. And so your macros, I didn't really even know what macros were.
I didn't either.
This is just so that people listening understand, I am not a health nut. I do not know too much about nutrition at all. So I did not even know like what are macros. Well, there's only three macros. It's your protein, it's your fat, and it's your carbs. So it's very simple. So the program really walks you through it. It tells you what to do on what days. And then you do really good weight training on days where you're having your carbs, because that helps you power through some of the harder workouts. I will say I literally approached it as I'm just doing the nutrition piece. It's a 7 week program, 1 week of prep week, and then 6 weeks of the program. I literally said, I don't care if I don't work out even one time. I just, because I was really overhauling my nutrition. I mean, it's not exaggerating to say,
Yeah.
It was a complete overhaul. So that was a big change, and I wasn't intending to do that in 2019 at all.
Yes.
I always thought people who were gluten-free or paleo, I always thought they were kind of weird, to be honest. Sorry to the listeners. You're probably like, I don't like this girl. She's really rude. I didn't mean to be, but it just seemed a little weird to be eating like meat and nuts and fruits and vegetables. It's like, give me homemade bread with butter and a glass of wine and I will be happy for the rest of my life. So to think about that I could make a change like that was pretty incredible. But that's why, just to circle back to the goals, the monthly, I don't know what mine is for June. I don't, I have some things sketched out that I might do, but I think as women, it's important to just take it 1 month at a time and adjust your goals based on, okay, I did this habit. And I think we just naturally, it occurs to us what we should do next. And really, it sounds crazy to do an overhaul like that in March, but because I was drinking so much water, I naturally did clean up my diet a lot in February because I realized I was eating when really I was just really dehydrated and thirsty. And I got such an energy boost that the faster way to fat loss just seemed like the next natural progression of, okay, I cleaned up my hydration significantly. It just made sense to say, I wonder if I cleaned up my diet, what could really happen with my body? And I have been so pleased with the results. I lost 10 pounds.
Yay.
In a 7-week window, which I mean, and that was really effortless. It didn't feel like I was dieting. It didn't feel like, I was taking in more calories than I ever had on Weight Watchers. And this is not to put Weight Watchers down at all. I think it's a fantastic program.
But I think that's a good thing to say, because you said to me when you started the Faster Way, Weight Watchers wasn't working for you anymore.
Right.
And
right.
I think we kind of have to change it up every once in a while, because your body gets used to the gig, you know, you got to kind of change it up, and you're turning 40. So your body's different now.
Yes.
So you ate more than you would have eaten on Weight Watchers, but you lost weight. I think that's important to say.
It is. It was taking in way more calories than I ever had, and a lot of fats. And that was the one thing that has always sort of bothered me on calorie restriction is, you know, the 80s, like fat makes you fat. And they're finding that for brain health, which to be honest, the one thing that I don't want to have happen is I don't want Alzheimer's. And so I read a lot of literature about how to keep our brains healthy. And they are really starting to say that like the Mediterranean diet, those things are really good for your brain. And that's a lot of healthy oils, walnuts, avocados, fatty fish. Like there are things that we need to do to keep our brain healthy. And on Weight Watchers, and again, I think it's a great program, I'm not knocking it, but you get punished for having high fat food. And so you give up a lot of your daily points that are allotted to you if you have a tablespoon of olive oil on your salad, whereas on the way to fat loss, and we need those fats to help us absorb the nutrients and vegetables.
Right.
And so it, when I read the literature, it just made so much sense to me. It was sort of like everything clicked. And the results are, and again, I did not do the heavy workouts. I am not I'm not very coordinated. I'm not good at sports. I'm not a big fitness person. That's something I want to add in pretty soon. But I will tell you, this is what Keith is my husband. Keith and I both, we have never slept so well in our entire lives. I sleep so soundly. And at 3 o'clock, 8 o'clock, I have the same amount of energy as I had at 9 a.m. and that has never happened in my entire life. So I know that the nutrition has just totally radically changed my life, because when I'm done with Organized 365, make dinner with my, for my family, spend time with my family. But then I start in school at 8:30 at night.
And you're crazy.
I am crazy. But I now have the energy at 8:30 at night that I have at 8:30 in the morning. And so that to me is the whole story. Our nutrition really, really does matter. And I think that as women, we have a lot of things, and it's just like, there's just so much stuff. Like, I need to do this. I need to do that. Mm-hmm. I need to do this. And we just feel like so much pressure all the time to be. So this was not a societal pressure at all. This was just figuring out, can I make a change that's going to give me more energy? And I am very motivated. I am a goal-oriented person, but that's because we have one life to live, and I don't want to waste it feeling trapped in my body, feeling low energy. I don't want to spend my life regretting things. So I do tend to take the bull by the horns, and I'm constantly tweaking things and making changes just to make my life better.
Yeah. And I cannot wait for you to get Shailene Johnson's 131 method book, because I know you'll read it cover to cover, and then we can sit there like nerds and discuss the entire thing. But she did those brain scans of her brain that was showing all of those Alzheimer's type things going on in her brain already. And she said it's because she did so much calorie restriction and low fat and high intensity workouts for so many years, and her changing into more of a paleo type diet, but she does add in the other foods that Amanda does not add in, changed her physical brain scans. Now, I would say probably about 3 years ago when Bulletproof Coffee came out, which is the coffee that has the butter in it and all that kind of stuff, which no, I've never had it. I don't want oils and butters in my coffee. But I remember Dave Asprey saying it was the fat in that butter, that your brain needed that fat. And I remember hearing that message like 3 years ago, and I was getting tired every single day. What was happening was whenever I would eat, as soon as I would eat, I would be exhausted and I'd want to take a nap like at 10, 10:30. And so what I found was I would push off having my lunch later and later and later in the day, and then I would take a nap. What I've realized in the last year is I don't do that anymore. I don't get tired. I don't do a nap anymore. So really, over the last 3 years, I have been making changes to my diet already. And now I know that, okay, a Zone Perfect peanut butter chocolate bar may not be good on other people's diets because it has carbs in it, because it has soy in it. But for my body, it's fine. Like, it sustains me for 3 hours. It has the good balance of macros that I want of protein, carbs, and fat all together. I understand maybe it's not what you want to have for breakfast every day, but that and my coffee, the way I make it, when I have that, that gives me 3 hours of energy with no up and no down. And then I have a salad. And when I have the salad, and then I have my little Noni's cookie, which is carbs and it is sugar, but I don't get a spike or a drop from that. And I can sustain that all the way until like 2:30 or 3. And then around that time, I'll usually have, I mean, if I was good, I'd have a couple scoops of peanut butter. Sometimes I have chips. And then I like to eat my dinner at 5 o'clock at night. And then I'm done about 6, 6:30. And sometimes, like last night, we went to La Rosa's and I had pizza and I came home and I was tired, but I'm not getting a college degree at night. So I turned on Netflix and did a puzzle. I was just fine, Kelly. But I think because I had been working on my diet for the last 3 years, because I was having these naps, I was like, I had to stop working and take naps. I fixed that problem. And because I already fixed that problem, I don't see the need to totally radically overhaul my diet, but I am adding in more fats and I am adding in like salmon. Whenever I go out to lunch, I always get a salmon salad because I really like it, but I'm not cooking salmon at home. And I know that's good for me and those fats are good. So I'm making those kind of changes in my life going forward.
Mm-hmm. And one thing, so you and I are very different in this way. You can like have a salad every day for lunch and you have your salad every day. And I am a total foodie. And so if you made me eat the same meal 2 days in a row, no, no. Right. So in some ways it is. So for my foodies out there, it can be really hard to lose weight because I love variety. I love, love, love food. Like I could talk about food for hours.
I'm already bored with this conversation.
But then you'll have your bar, you'll have your coffee, you'll have your salad. Yep. And that's why we were talking about the faster way to fat loss. You were more saying to me, just tell me what to eat and when to eat it. And
I had her text me foods and I put them on a spreadsheet. Yes. I was like, okay, so that's what we eat for 7 weeks. Got it.
Right. Yes. And it's fun to do the program with someone for sure. It makes it so much easier. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my other obsession when I hired you was you had an Apple Watch.
Yes.
And I wanted an Apple Watch. And so every time I was done training you or we were together, I was like, what other apps do you have on your Apple Watch? Do you use your Apple Watch for that? And Kelly would be like, would you just get an Apple Watch already? Stop talking to me about the Apple Watch. And my son's in the hallway listening and he has an Apple Watch. I would always grill him too. What do you use? Mom, get an Apple Watch. You just need an Apple Watch. So I got an Apple Watch for Mother's Day. And it is fabulous. I do love it. It's just an expensive Fitbit.
To Lisa, it is an expensive Fitbit. And you didn't tell the whole story that when we were at the mall together shopping, anybody that had an Apple Watch, Lisa literally-
Complete strangers.
What do you use it for? And then at the homeschool convention, anybody that came up to the vendor booth, oh, you have an Apple Watch? What do you use it for? I was like, oh my word, Lisa, just buy the Apple Watch.
I get a little obsessive about things.
It's the questioner in you. You really wanted to ask a lot of questions before you made that big purchase.
Well, it was a big purchase. And then it was like $400 because I didn't get the cellular package. And Joey's with me. He goes, Okay. So we leave, he gets it all set up. And that night I'm like, well, I'm going to have to carry my phone. He goes, yeah, I wonder why you didn't get the cellular package. I was like, well, it's $100 more. Next day I had to go back, get a different Apple Watch. So anyway, it's $500, people. It's a really expensive Fitbit. But with that said, I do have an Apple iPhone. I do not have a MacBook, so I can't connect my watch to my laptop. And the one thing that I would say I may be more productive about than you is that I don't do the notification deal.
Correct. Yep.
I don't have... There's nothing that bings or bongs or there's no little numbers that show up on my phone. And I did that over time. I can't remember what article I read. It was some productivity book. And they said, do you ever notice that the president of the United States never gets interrupted in any conversation? He's never checking his watch. He's never checking the phone. I was like, oh, and I was like, well, they have people. Like, obviously, if anything happens, they have people. But yes, but like people who are truly good at their craft, like CEOs, salespeople, politicians, when they are with you, they are with you. And they're not checking their phone. They're not looking at notifications on their watch. I mean, they've blocked out this time for you and this phone call or this meeting, and they are 100% present with you. And when they're with their email, they're with their email, and on and on and on. And I thought, well, if they can do it, I can do it. And I slowly just turned off pretty much all notifications are off on my phone. My text messages bing, my phone does ring, which is not very often. And then for Voxer, the little number comes up, but it does not make any sound whatsoever. So an Apple Watch for productivity, like if my phone doesn't bing and bong, my watch isn't going to either.
Yes. Yeah. So we're very different with that. I just finished Michael Hyatt's book, Free to Focus. So he does talk about that, turning off those notifications. So I am in the habit of...
I'm like Michael.
Yes, you are. You're like Michael Hyatt. That's a huge compliment. I just adore him.
I like Michael.
He is fantastic. But when he's doing what's called deep work, so when I'm going to do deep work, like I'll block out 4 hours on my calendar, and I do. I turn everything off, and on my Apple Watch, I put it in airplane mode. And so when it's in airplane mode, obviously, it's not going to alert me to anything, and then I'm able to really, really focus in. The next book that I'm reading, which just arrived from Amazon, is Digital Minimalism. And so I think that'll really help me set some good parameters for myself. But it is hard. I mean, in managing the day-to-day, there are a lot of, you know, I feel like if one of your team members needs something real quick, I do want to get back to them. But I'm getting better when I'm working on a project. I turn that stuff off, and I will usually tell, especially if I think someone needs me that day, I'll tell them like from 12 to 4, I'm doing this. So just leave me a message. But I also know that sometimes they can't move on with their work if they don't get a quick answer back. So
okay, yes, but they all listen to the podcast, so they're going to hear this anyway. So here's what I'm going to say to that is okay. you train them. I mean, you're training. I mean, I know as a teacher, like you train them. So number one, in Organize 365, I say as the founder and CEO, there are no organizing emergencies. It doesn't exist. Like even when the website goes down, I go, okay, did we notify DNA? Great. All right. Well then I'm going to do my puzzle now. Like I don't stress out about it because A, I'm not a computer programmer. There's nothing I could do about it. And B, there is no organizing emergency. Like if you can't log into your dashboard for an hour, the world is going to continue to spin on its axis, open the planner, do your Sunday basket. It'll be fine. Like
yes,
everything will be fine. So that's the message we give as a company to our audience. So we should have the same message for our team. And now that you are brilliantly moving everything into Asana, it's not like they're only working on one single project. They can like ask their question, put that slash pocket to the side, pull out the next slash pocket, start working. When they get that answer, pull that slash pocket back, finish up that project and move on. Like we have all very efficient, productive people on our team. So
we do. Yeah. They are all rock stars. That is for sure.
Yeah.
So yes, I do have, I know I have a lot of notifications and ringing and dinging going on.
I'm going to keep working on this, Kelly.
She's going to keep, you guys don't even know. She's going to keep nagging me till I fix this. And
well, because it's a life balance. Like you came to work for Organize 365 for life balance.
Yes.
That's not life balance. And I want you here for a long, long time.
I want to be with you for a long, long time. It is, you know, and some of it too is, if I only used it for counting my steps, if I only used the Apple Watch for counting my steps and my workouts, then yes, it is a very, very expensive Fitbit.
I love it anyway.
Yes, I'm glad you love it anyway. You definitely did your research before you bought it. You did 6 months of solid research.
I did. Really, really I totally did.
But I do love the Apple Watch. It's really, I would say the best thing from a health and fitness perspective is that you and I are both people that could sit at our desk for 10 hours and not move. Like when we really get walking and rolling with work, we are really focused. And I love that every hour it vibrates and tells me it's time to get up and move, because they say that sitting disease is like smoking. It is the new cigarette, in that by sitting for 8 to 10 hours a day and not moving, it's really, really bad for your health. And so that is probably, I know this is really stupid to say that I have this. Mine was not, I got the, I don't know, I think I have the Apple Watch Series 2 or something. So I think it was like $200. It's an expensive thing to just tell me to get up and move. I know I could use the timer on my phone, but I would never remember to set the timer on my phone.
I do have that one turned on, the standing thing. And then at the end of the day, I'm really happy when I have all those blue lines light up. Yes. Like you and I both were like, oh, we got a gold star. Look, look, mine says I got a gold star.
Those rings on it, it's designed that way for a reason. It's designed that way to get you to be focused on making those three rings all get filled out. So it has been very good for me health-wise. I'm going to be real honest. I hope in 3 months this is a different story, but I hardly ever get my exercise ring filled out. I'm just focused on 15 minutes of exercise a day. So to get that ring filled out, you need 30 minutes a day. But you are kicking tail at the gym. So I'm sure
Are you sure you can't change that goal inside of the settings?
I don't want to change it. I know I should be getting 30 minutes. There's probably marathoners listening to this like, oh my word, what is her problem? She can't.
We're exercising our brain. This is what I keep telling you. It's my best performed muscle.
Is the brain a muscle? Isn't it? I don't know. Let's pretend it is.
Let's pretend it is.
We are so
mentally. It's the one that I focus on the most.
Right.
Okay, so there are other things that you can do with your Apple Watch, though, that does also go to your computer.
Yes and no. I mean, really, if you just have the
iPhone. I researched it. I can just tell you there are.
The reminders, like I use Siri a lot on my watch. I am somebody that I don't have my phone with me, like especially when I'm with my family. I literally try not to have my phone in my hands. It's a habit I've been working on for about a year. So part of the reason for the watch is my oldest is at college. My second oldest is working 5 or 6 days a week. So, you know, if I get a text, I do peek at it because in case one of my kids needs me or there's an emergency, but I like it because it's tied to my phone. A lot of times I don't know where my phone is. Like it might be under the couch. It might be out in my car. So the watch helps me just know what's going on, because I'm just not somebody, I don't like to carry my phone around with me. I wear a lot of clothes that don't have pockets. Right. And you know, women's pockets are ridiculous. They don't even hold phones. Like they're so tight. I don't understand. Men have these. That's a whole story.
I am looking forward to it in the summer because I love to wear dresses in the summer. So I'm not going to need to have my phone. Right. I did not put some apps on my phone. Like I think, can you put Instagram on your phone? I think
on
so.
Watch?
Yeah. I took it off.
I don't have it. I don't have that one.
There's like Buffer and like, you could put Voxer on your phone, but all you could do is read messages. You can't respond or play them. I'm like, well, that's pointless. So I took that off because that just annoyed me. And I don't want to be using all that data to be sucking down information that you can't even use.
Right.
So yes, I will be able to go now with just a watch and not my phone. Like I can go work out and I could still play Spotify. That was the other thing. It's also an expensive MP3 player. So I could play the whole Spotify playlist from Embrace while I'm walking on the treadmill without having my phone there. So that's helpful also.
That is awesome. Yes. And I use
podcasts.
Yeah, right. You can pause podcasts. You can advance them. So that part, I mean, I know it sounds ridiculous. My husband and I, like we will have our watches till literally they fall apart. So I had the Series 1 when it came out and literally the face, you could lift the face off and look at all this stuff going on inside of it. And I still kept using it until one day it just died. So I will really have it for a really long time, but I don't really view it as an expensive watch. I view it as it's like a second cell phone. It's a part of my cell phone that I wear, which I know that's to some people that would not appeal to them. But again, for me, the getting up and moving around in every hour is very important to me, because I feel like in the role that I'm in and the roles I've had my last 15 years in the workforce, I do a lot of sitting. Mm-hmm. And so I don't just, you know, it says stand up and move a little. Like I've seen some people literally just shake their wrist to make the watch stop doing that. I force myself. We have the kind of house, right? Lisa, you don't do that, do you?
No, I didn't know that was a thing. Although I do have that turned on. It does do that buzzy thing. Yes. But I'm just thinking now, I don't have mine hooked up to Verizon yet. I need to do that still. But when I walk Hunter, then even with Greg, I can leave my phone at home because I can get text. I can get phone. If I'm walking the dog without Greg, I can listen to a podcast or I can listen to Spotify. So I do like all those things as well. I just want to make it very, very clear that I do have an Apple Watch. It is not a necessary purchase at all whatsoever.
Correct. I totally agree with you there.
Yeah. Still happy I got one though.
We all have our fun splurges that we like to spend money on, and that's, you know, it's all good. I feel like we all have areas where we will spend a lot of money that other people think is totally crazy. And your message of we just need to give ourselves grace. I love when women can give each other grace. Some people will spend a fortune on, you know, hair, nails, vacation, all those things. And to me, the Apple Watch could be frivolous to other people, but it is a productivity and a health purchase for me. So, but people for sure don't need something like that. I mean, at one point I had a $5 pedometer that I got in a McDonald's meal, I think, and it lasted me like 2 years, and that was the best thing ever. I just kept it in my pocket every day. So it's obviously you don't have to spend money for your health. But I do agree with you that when we have, like my dad likes to say, when we have some skin in the game, that's, you know, for organization or health or anything, we tend to be more motivated to stick with it because we've sacrificed something in order to invest in that. So I do think that making purchases when we have a goal is very important. I don't think we value things that are free.
Agreed. Totally agree. Kelly, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This has been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me. I had lots of fun.
You guys come to Embrace, you can see Kelly too.